All right, I guess we're going to begin. How many think we should begin? How many think we shouldn't begin? You're double-minded. No, I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. I get in trouble by teasing, you know. I mean, sometimes it depends on which people I'm talking with. But you know, fortunately, there's a lot of grace here. What would we do without a sense of humor, right? Yeah. Actually, you can tell. Just look around outside in the world. That's what happens when you don't have a sense of humor. Okay. Let's see. So this is a workshop on visionary prayer, right? Visionary prayer. So how many think we should pray to start the workshop? Laura, would you come up and pray to start this workshop? It's one of my just. I just love her faith so much. Thank you.
Lord, we are so thankful that you just invite us together into your counsels, Lord. And we come to you, we long to know how you want us to pray. Lord, we want to see you affect this world. Lord, please give us wisdom. Lead Pastor Stan and speak to us. Lord, we just want to see all that you are expressed and all that you would do through us, through the promises you gave us concerning prayer. So give us light, we pray now in this time. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Okay, So the title of this workshop is Visionary Prayer, or we also said like how to having a powerful prayer vision. Or was it visionary prayer? Anyway. The idea is a twofold idea: prayer with vision. Also, you could say it this way: vision with prayer. They both work, by the way. It's the same real. We'll talk about it. I was talking a little bit with some of the young people last night, and I said so. Should everybody be a visionary? Like, and there's different ideas about that. Should everybody be a visionary? And like Pastor Stevens, we could say Pastor Stevens, who founded this ministry. God founded the ministry, but God uses people, right? But we could say, like, Pastor Stevens was really a visionary man. He would say, like, yeah, we're going to go and do this. We're going to go out. We're going to be all over the world. And I would say, like, okay, maybe not everybody has the same extent of that. But I, at the same time, I really, it was my conviction. You don't have to share it if you don't want to. It's okay. But it's my conviction that maybe everybody should, in some measure, be visionary. Not just, like, it's so easy for us to settle, right? To, like, just go for less. I wonder when we get to be with the Lord, I wonder how, if we will go like, oh, I could have You mean that was possible? So before we're gonna talk about some great examples in the Bible. This is a workshop, so who would you say would be some great examples to use? And I'm not probably going to use all of your examples, but maybe some of them anyways, would be an example of like a prayerful vision or a vision with prayer, people in the Bible. Okay, Daniel. Actually, Daniel was one that I was thinking about. Whew. I feel better. Give me another one. Nehemiah was also on my list. Wow, we are on the same page. One more, or two more, or three more. Joshua. I hadn't thought about Joshua. Yeah. What about Joshua? I'm going to go in. Yeah, God. Anybody else? Who? Joseph. Oh, Joseph. Yeah. Yeah, Joseph. Yeah. We're going to mention Elijah, and we're going to mention Nehemiah and Daniel. But before we get to the good guys, let's go to the bad guys first. Like, before we get to the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens. I'm sorry. I can't believe that I did that again. Okay. See if anybody's going out to go to Pastor Hadley's workshop now. I'm out of here. Okay. All right. Saul, King Saul. In 1 Samuel 13, let's open up to that. 1 Samuel 13. you know the story. Saul, this is the way that he operated. He waited the 7 days that Samuel appointed in verse 8. But Samuel didn't. Of course, Samuel said, I'm coming on the seventh day. But it's now the seventh day, and, you know, I'm not going to wait until the end of the seventh day. he should have. But he waited, but Samuel didn't come, and the people were scattering from him. How did he know that? He saw, he has eyes, right? He sees it. Okay, this is, you know, when we talk about a prayerful vision or visionary prayer, the vision that we're talking about is not this one. It's the vision from God. It's seeing things that God sees that people cannot see. That's what we're talking about. But Saul, he saw that the people were scattering. And let's see. So he said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he had finished, of course, offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, well, when I saw that the people were scattering from me, okay, I saw that the people were scattering. Number two, I saw that you didn't come within the days appointed, although actually you did, but it didn't seem like you were going to because I was looking. Then I saw that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash. So I saw, with these eyes, right? I saw. And I said, that's what we do. Like, this is so common for Christians too, right? Just like, I saw. And so, based on what I saw, I said. So I said, okay, this is what I should do. And I have not sought the favor of the Lord. I have not sought the favor of the Lord. What? Hey. So I have not sought the favor of the Lord, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something. And he said, so I forced myself. in Spanish, me esforcé. I forced myself. And I did it. But I didn't. When I saw, and I saw, and I saw, I didn't pray. I saw, and then I said, and I did. I saw, I said, and I did. And where's the prayer in that? And there's by, and the vision that he has is with these eyes. And it, and so what does the man of God looks at him and says, you have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. Okay, then go to chapter 15. Now, in chapter 15, again, he is given a word from the prophet Samuel, and the prophet Samuel tells him what to do from God, and Saul doesn't do it. He obeys what he thinks is right, but he doesn't do everything. And it's so important, right? This. Okay, so, but I only want to read one verse here of this chapter, 1 Samuel 15. Two verses. At the end, when Samuel is saying, like, no, you didn't, you have not done the will of God. And he says in verse 23, rebellion against the will of God is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, that's not prayer. Right? That's not prayer. Like, when Saul, this is what it says. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin. What? Like, that's not prayer. He's talking to Samuel. He's not, there's no prayer. I talk to myself and I do, and when I do pray, sort of, but my prayer is to a man. Please forgive me. Forgive my sin. I sinned against your God. So that's one example of someone who his vision and what he thinks is going to happen and he should do is not a prayerful vision. It's not a vision full of prayer. And his vision has no prayer, and his prayer has no vision. He's seeing, but it's not with prayer. And when he has a prayer, it's not with the vision from God, because it's a human. Like when I was a teenager, my family, we went to this Baptist church, and in our little town, or outside of our little town, and Wednesday night was prayer meeting. Every Wednesday night was prayer meeting. I went every Wednesday night. My mother and somebody else went with us, and we went to the prayer meeting. I noticed something that the chapel was about half the size of this chapel. It was a pretty big chapel in a Baptist church of, which was pretty good for a town of 4,000 people to have a chapel this size. But at the back, the doors had, like these ones do, have little, although the ones in those doors were smaller windows. But I'm a teenager. I was praying, sort of, but I didn't have my eyes closed. And, you're looking around to see, like, well, is this real? Are people real? What's going on here? Is this just a, blah, 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 or something real happening here? So I'm watching everything. I mean, I was saved, but I'm watching. And I'm a little bit skeptical about some things. And anyway, every Wednesday night, I would see a face in the window of the door. Every Wednesday night. And the face would look in, and the face would look to see if the pastor was there. And if the pastor was there, the door opened and the face came in, including the body, right? But if the pastor wasn't there, the face disappeared with the body. And I thought, so this is what prayer is about. That's not right, is it? Okay, let's go to Lot. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 10. This is when, Abraham says to Lot, listen, if you go this way, I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go that way. And Lot lifted up his eyes again. Okay, now there's a vision here, but it's this kind of vision, right? It's just this kind of vision. Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere. Well, you know this story. So he went. It didn't go well with him. We heard it last night, right? We heard it a little bit about Lot last night in the message from Pastor. So there we have a vision. Was there any prayer there? There's no prayer. Lot, Abraham said, go whichever direction that you feel led to go. And it doesn't say, and Lot got down on his knees, or Lot lifted his eyes to heaven and said, God, it doesn't say that. It says Lot looked out there, looked around, and said, that looks like the best direction. Vision, but no prayer. Now, those are the bad examples. Now we're going to, let's go to Nehemiah first. Nehemiah, this story, but we'll read a little bit. Nehemiah chapter 1, it's basically this, what we're saying here is in the first two chapters of Nehemiah. They said to me, I asked in verse 2 about the Jews who escaped. Certain men came from Judah, and they said, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble. The remnant is in great trouble and shame. The remnant. Wow, the remnant, the church, the remnant is in great trouble. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before, but I didn't do it I didn't look in the back of the church window to see who might be in there. I didn't do it before people. Nobody knew I was doing it. It was, he says, that's what he says here, praying before the God of heaven. You know what happens when you pray, when we take the time and we get alone and we're not impressing anyone because there's no one there to be impressed, and we're not announcing what we're doing on Facebook or whatever. We're just getting alone before the God of heaven. What happens when you do that? God, this is the thing. Like, God loves us. God is watching. God is there. God shows up. I don't see him. I'm not looking to see like Saul and then deciding, see, I see, so I say to myself, I see, I say, and I do. But no, like I hear, this is so good, isn't it? Where, like, I hear and I think about it, and I'm not in a hurry. Prayer, you cannot hurry prayer. Prayer is something that you cannot. I mean, it's not a question of how much time I do it. It's not really, I mean, it could be sometimes, but not really. We're not talking about how many minutes or whatever, but it's just not in a hurry. I'm not saying, I'm not putting a limit. I'm not saying, okay, it has to happen. I'm just saying, he'd prayed before the God of heaven. And I'm not going to read the what he said, but you can read it. He's talking, he's opening his heart before God, and he's taking his time. He's taking his time. And when he prays this way, then in chapter 2, God shows up. He doesn't even know what, he doesn't really know what to do. But the king, like, God puts it in the heart of the king to say to him, hey, why is your face sad? Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't have the vision like this. Like they told me, they described to me the situation, but my prayer was so much deeper than what I heard about the situation. It was not I didn't go and try to put together a building project. No, I didn't do it in my energy, and it wasn't a vision without prayer. It was prayer. And then God had the king say, like, why is your face downcast? And he's like, and he was afraid, but he started talking. And as he's talking, the vision, the vision came. It was a prayerful vision. It was amazing. It was a prayerful vision, and the practicality, and it ended up being, I mean, what could be more practical than building a wall around Jerusalem, right? What could, like, listen, it's not like God doesn't have practical things for us to do. He does, of course. Practical, you know, get your hands dirty, get in there and get, you know, and do it, the practical things, but that the vision that we have would be a prayerful vision. That it would be a prayerful. That's how the vision is powerful. Because God, our prayer is to God. I prayed to the God of heaven. I wasn't in a hurry. I did it for days. And then God gave the vision, and you know what happened. Like, it actually happened. Like, he actually went and did it. And, okay, we'll go one more place right now. First Kings, right? Yeah, First Kings, chapter 18. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, so you know this story here too. Oh, the Bible is wonderful, isn't it? The Bible. My wife, every time I say this, I say, like, this is my favorite, you know, verse or chapter or book, and my wife just goes, like, do you have any part that's not your favorite part? And I don't know. It's the one I'm reading right now is my favorite one, always. But, wow. 1 Kings chapter 18, these stories. We said the other day, you know, the adventure. I think it was at the lunch wrap one yesterday, maybe, or what day is today? Wednesday? Is this Wednesday? Wow, it's Wednesday. Hey, we're at convention. Oh, I can hardly believe it. Thank God. Wow. Thank God for all of you, you know, for this place. yeah, we said it, like, we have to be fascinated. You know, prayer, I think we should pray with fascination. I think we should be, like, the way to avoid being fascinated with the world is to be fascinated with the adventures that God has for us. He has some adventures for us. And by the way, I absolutely believe with all my heart that it's not ending. Like, it's not ending, not here, not later. It's not ending. The adventure will never end. I mean, if you can have an adventure that you enjoy here while you're in a body of sin and death, what about like a million years from now, if we're still counting time in years, or I don't know how that all is going to work, but I know that there's adventure and fascination. So, Elijah. This is an awesome story. Elijah, I'm not going to read the chapter really, just to say, like, in this chapter, 1 Kings 18, you know, Elijah, the prophets of Baal, they do their things. He has this idea. It doesn't, by the way, say, it never says in there that God told Elijah exactly how to do this. It only says that Elijah sees that the people are like, they're like, is the Lord God? I don't know. Who is God? And Elijah sees this, and he says, I got to do something. So he just starts doing things. He said, actually what we see here in this chapter, what we saw in Nehemiah is that the prayer produced the vision. Here, I think there's still like a prayerful attitude that he has as he's looking at this. But then there's the vision, and then at the end there's a prayer that is produced out of the vision. Because remember at the end when he prays for the fire to come down and consume, but that prayer was just flowed out of the vision. It was a vision, because it wasn't this kind of a vision. It wasn't a vision of what he could see with his eyes. It was a vision of that it was a vision from heaven of what God wanted to do. He discerned it. He said, I know that God is good. It was a doctrinal thing. I know, like Psalm 56, verse 9, right? I don't know much, but it says, but this, it doesn't say I don't know much. I'm adding that just for me, right? I don't know much, but this I know, that God is for me, right? I think that's a good one. I know that God is, so Elijah's like, I know that God is for his people, and I know God wants to save. I know he wants to save. We evangelize because we know, we go, we plant churches, we send missionaries. Thank you for sending missionaries. Like here with us, where I don't know if Pastor Arturo is in here or if he's in the workshop with Pastor Hadley. Is Pastor Arturo here? Oh, he's over there. Okay, there he is with my wife. But this is what happens. Like in one person, and you talk to, and you go to his house, and you start a Bible college class in his garage, because his wife invited Karen and I down to have breakfast one day about, you know, I don't know, it seems like 100 years ago, but it wasn't. And here he is. So this is what happens. When it's a prayer with vision, and when it's vision with prayer, Elijah. But one of the beautiful things in the chapter here is that when the prophets of Baal were doing their thing, what was Elijah doing? Nothing. Nothing. He wasn't preparing the altar. He wasn't arranging the stones. He wasn't doing anything. I like it. Not laziness, just watchfulness. Okay. And he, because the people are also, listen, the people are also watching him now. Okay, they're seeing that, but what's Elijah doing? Nothing. he's at rest. And then when it's his turn, he said, okay, is it my turn now? You guys done with your little, you know, party over there? Guys, go, can we get you guys some Band-Aids for your arms and everything? Okay, you guys all taken care of? All right, now. Then it says, listen, look at, we can read a couple verses here. It says, verse 30, Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. Now that even takes some time. How many of you have ever, like, you know, you've had like a large group of people and you want to take a group picture? Does that take a little bit of time? Elijah says to the people, come near to me. Oh, we got to move. We had our nice blanket down here in this place. Well, come over here. Okay. Come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And it says, and he repaired the altar. Elijah, couldn't you have been repairing the altar? Yeah, I could have. Why didn't you? Because I wanted the people to see me repairing the altar. Because I'm not in a hurry. I have a vision, but it's a prayerful vision. I have a prayer, but it's a visionary prayer. It's a visionary prayer. I believe that God will do something. And he believes it so much. And he takes his time. Well, you know, like he takes the he repaired the altar. He takes 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. And with the stones, he built the altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench and then put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces. This is taking some time, right? This is taking some time. Now, the water jars. Fill 4 jars with water. Pour it on. Do it again. They did it again. Do it a third time. They did it a third time. All of this is taking time. God, who doesn't care about time in that way, is in heaven with the big screen on, has you know, the angels over, is, you know, better than a football game. And he's saying, just watch this, watch what's going to happen now. And he pours the water. Oh, he's pouring the water on. Like, oh, I love his faith. And so then he prays, but it's a visionary prayer. It's a prayer. This is all we're really saying here today is this, that that when we pray, we do pray. We cannot be hurried in prayer. It has to be with thoughtfulness, with compassion, like Nehemiah thinking about the people, and Elijah here. Why is he doing this? Why did he take his time? It's not about the prophets of Baal. It's not about them. It's about the people. It's not about the demons. It's about the people. It's not about what the devil is doing. It's about the people. And I want them to see. Because I want them to see. They have to see. I have a vision, but it's not like Saul. I don't see, then say, then do. No. I talk to God. I listen to God. And I wait. How long? I don't know. That's the beautiful thing about how long did it take after Pastor Stevens said, we're going to go into, you know, all the world. We're going to be in dozens and dozens, and I don't know how many countries. We're going to be in how many countries do we have churches in? 70, almost 80 countries that we have churches in, and we've visited a lot more than that and done missions work in many places that we don't have churches yet. But we have, who knows, maybe we do and we don't even know it. Like, maybe we do. Like, somebody was there, and we meet people. There's a psychologist in Rosario, Argentina, who, because I do a 90-second video devotional every day, and there's a very actually well-known psychologist in Rosario who sends our devotionals out to all of her patients. She said, this will heal their emotions. She said, I just send your devotionals out to everybody. She said, some of them, she's a believer. She says, some of them are saved. The majority are not saved, but she said they will benefit from this because this is what happens. We cannot estimate the value. We have to have this kind of vision. When we slow down, like this time, this time of the last 18 months is a time for us. When, you know, I think that I talk a lot with young people down there when I'm out on the, I take my bicycle and I go around the city And I stop and I talk. I find a group of young people and I stop and talk with them. And you know what I'm finding? I think because of there was so much time like indoors, away from people and everything. I think the young people are so saturated with internet and with, you know, whatever they do on there, and also with even with TV and movies. I think they're so stinking tired of that. That they're just like, you know, if someone, like I went up to this one group of five people, five young people the other day, just a few days ago, and when I went up, they were like, he's gonna talk to us. Like, everybody stop, look, and we did. Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. Like, yeah. Like, slowing down. Looking, but not okay. We see that it's not like we don't see those things too. That King Saul saw those things. We see those things also, but we're also seeing behind. Like a few months ago, Pastor Schaller said, you know, sometimes. Like we could see a Christian could also see like the work of the devil. And get upset. But he said, like, we have to look again. We have to look again and see God. What is God doing there? It's so easy just to get all riled up, you know, in a wrong way. There's a right way. 'Cause God, you know, like, we have to, a lie is a lie. Like, this young girl just becoming a teenager in one of our beautiful family in Rosario, and her friends, you know, the people that she, the kids her age, she's like 12, going to be 13, I think, and you know, she said to her dad some months ago, she said, you guys are, and she even used the English word hater, you know, like with the Spanish pronunciation. I can hardly even say it in English anymore. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay, you do understand me, right? Hater, or I can. It sounds funny to me to say hater, like the Pittsburgh way. Hater, you're a hater. But she said, ustedes son haters, you know. Because that's what she was hearing, like, from her, you know. And you know what? But because of love and because of investment and because of chocolate chip cookie bars that I, you know, it's one of my great pleasures is to make chocolate chip cookie bars and take them in my backpack out on the bicycle and deliver them. I have people from Peru saying, when is ours coming? And I'm going like, I don't know. I can't take the bicycle up there yet. But because of those things and a vision, and then you can sit down with this 13 almost year old girl and you can explain. And because there's love, oh, you are not haters. Oh, I see how it is, but see how this is so practical. There's real things that are real people with real. They could go one way, they could go another way. It's just like in First Kings 18. They could go this way or they could go that way, but oh, they could come this way, if we will just take our time, and see, like have a vision. That is given to us by God, but you got to slow down to get it. You got to stop and look. You got to look again. You got to see what God is doing, and then the prayer, and which also again, it's like I said, it's you could also then say, and then if I'm rolling this way, then. Vision comes out of prayer, and prayer comes out of vision. And wow, it's like a big snowball rolling down a never-ending mountain. And I think that's like us. We're just getting some momentum that God is giving to us through these, because of a lot of being together, a lot of the Bible, a lot of love. Oh my goodness, how much patience there is, like in this room, like in this church, how much patience. I think of how much the patience of God, like David said, your benignidad has made me great. How is the word in English, honey? Your kindness, your loving kindness? Is that how it is? Your gentleness. Okay, thank you. Yes. I still got the Pittsburgh accent, but you know, when I want to. Yeah. But that's basically what we wanted to say this morning here, or this afternoon. No, it's still morning. So did anybody, maybe someone has like just a little testimony, a little something about prayer, vision, coming out of prayer, prayer coming out of that kind of vision? You know, someone, anyone, you just come up here and grab the mic and come up here.
Sir. Hello. A good friend of mine, his name is Ricardo, and his father was sick with COVID, and he was going to die. So they induced coma as like a last resort, and it was supposed to be like maybe in 15 days in coma, that might be enough to get him over the hump and to have him recover. So because he's such a close friend of mine, I wrote, how many of you guys have WhatsApp here? Okay, so WhatsApp is like the method in Costa Rica for communication. And I want to say like maybe 1,000 contacts. And so when I send out a message, it goes out to all 1,000. And so I ask people to pray for this guy. His name's Osvaldo, Ricardo's father. And they induced coma. We started praying like never before. I mean, we just went at it because we love Ricardo so much. And 3 days into it, they had to wake him up because he was free of COVID, and they had to get him out of the COVID area immediately. And so this was like such a miracle that it sparked something in our church where we started having like this vision for just like praying, like, I mean, we consider ourselves a praying church, but because of this just incredible miracle with somebody that we love so much, it started a thing. So now we have like a chat room where all sorts of people are in it, and we're putting petitions, and then we're all praying for these petitions, and and then we're telling testimonies about how things are working out, and it's just begun like a snowball of prayer. It's amazing. So yeah.
Thanks. I thought he was, for a moment there, I thought he was going to say we started a new thing where we just put the whole church in an induced coma. You know. Wow, hallelujah, huh? Anybody else? Someone just like, you know, how vision comes out of prayer, or prayer from vision, visionary thinking with God. Pastor Julian Timofte. Pastor Julian and his wife, Natella, were with us for a year in Lima, Peru. It was a blessed year. Yeah. Come to see us anytime. You would cross a border illegally, wouldn't you? Yeah, I think if anyone could do it, like you could do it.
Yeah. So when they put us in quarantine last year in March, the church in Brasov with Pastor Vale, we started the prayer time, and every morning at 7 o'clock we were meeting on Zoom with people from all over Romania and Moldova, and they're still praying. But the thing was that we start to pray for the whole world. I mean, greater grace, and also for the persecuted church. And then 1.5 months later, when they stopped this lockdown, the heavier one, we said, you know what, we cannot stay at home, so let's go. So we thought about a city, and we said, okay, every 2 weeks we'll go to that city, Sibiu. And we went with Pastor Virgil and others from Cluj and from Brasov, and we met there, and we are doing like this Bible study and outreach. And we had like, we counted maybe more, but maybe 200 people got saved. And I thought about this, that there is prayer, and then God gives a vision, and then, you know, you cannot stop, and you continue, and then you have this desire in the heart to, and you know, like we pray, but then there is this fellowship, like people didn't want to go from the Zoom, you know, people were working, but we were like 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, even more, just praying and then fellowship around the Word of God. So, you know, something great come out of this, because God is with us and God gives us a vision, and then He carries us. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So if I don't have a vision, I should pray. Right? I should pray. If I don't pray, I need to find, you know what, maybe if someone is saying, like, I don't pray very much. Well, you need to find a man that has a vision. Follow him, and you'll pray more, because you'll find you have to. Maybe that's a good idea, right? If I don't pray very much, why am I not praying very much? Maybe I need, you know, maybe what I think what Saul really needed was David. Saul needed David. King Saul, he needed to say, like, take the crown, you know, put the crown. Okay, I follow you. You know, you're the vision. You have a vision from this, not this kind. I need to follow. So that's maybe why I'm not praying, is because I need to follow a guy with a vision, and I will get a vision, and I will pray. All right, I think that's it for today. For this morning, not for today. Wait, what's happening now? What's it? What's the next thing? The lunch wrap. Yeah, the lunch wrap in 16 minutes. The clock just changed. Yeah, thanks, guys. We're so grateful, Karen and I, for the body here and around the world, for all of you. What would we do? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give us vision, meaningful prayer, following a man like David, who's going somewhere and doing things that we cannot do unless you unless you are with us and lead us. So please help us in the ministry to not settle down, but to really get up and run more, greater things we will do. In Jesus' name, amen.